Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Hunter, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Foden. Lovely turn by De Bruyne. Danger here. Absolutely magnificent from Kevin De Bruyne. A virtuoso display so far by the Belgian.
Well, I guess you're a masochist. You want to relive that City thrashing of Arsenal? You poor young man.
De Bruyne was pretty exceptional. Yeah. Even I can admit that.
By the way, I mean, a two-footed soccer player that you can't even distinguish if his, you know, if he's slightly more predominantly right-footed or left-footed. I mean, ridiculous. But he was running through those guys like water. I thought he was going to get four. All right, we're not talking Arsenal anymore. We're not talking City. We're about to talk what is El Clasico tomorrow. Much of the world will be watching this. We've got Victor Valencek here for the Houston Coolies, and he's in the house, as is our great friend Cesar Avayan with the Peña Madristas here in Houston. So before we get into talking about the game and the players and the history of this wonderful, wonderful rivalry, I want to thank you both for coming up here tonight. I'm going to start with you, Victor. Put out where you're watching the game tomorrow. I know, but I want you to put the information out, because if there's people out there that want to take in this unbelievable rivalry, okay, this is monstrous, and you want to take it in with people that are really into it and have a good time, we're going to give you two locations to go. So, Victor, you start.
All right. So if you're in Houston and you are looking to watch, and you're a culé, and you want to watch El Clasico, you want to come to Montrose to Revelry on Richmond. We will be there. I'd say get there around 12 o'clock or even sooner to find a good seat. We got a great raffle raising some money for our sponsorship as well. We got a big membership campaign going on. But again, we got it's Wednesday's a tough one, 1 o'clock, but I think we'll still have over 100 people there. So come on and join us.
And by the way, you don't have to be a Barcelona. I mean, if you're a soccer fan and you want to take this in and get into the culture of what these supporters groups are doing, I don't think you're going to kick anybody out.
No, please. Join us. Yeah, see what it's all
about. It's a
friendly
group. Nobody's going to break a bottle over your head or anything.
It's okay, even if Cesar shows up.
And yeah. Yes, and these two guys get along, which is also a very, very good team. Cesar, where's your group going to be at?
So we usually meet up at the gorgeous gal right there on
no, not the gorgeous gal. Not Hugh O'Connor's, gal. Sorry, man. You got to get it right.
Sorry, all
right,
the old out. The old
out.
One.
Hold
the
on.
Old
Caesar's
one.
Out.
No, Hugh O'Connor's right there off of I-10 and 610.
Marquee,
right there
at the Marquee Center. Entertainment Center, the where Peter Kingston Center. Is.
Yep. We share the bar with the Liverpool support group there. Awesome guys. They're always, we support each other. They come out to watch our games. We come out to watch their games. But usually tomorrow, actually, we're going to be watching it at Richmond Arms just for that day, because I won't be able to watch it. But I got a co-host that's going to set it, that's doing everything
all
over
right,
there
just
for the
make
day.
Sure you bring some disinfectant when you go over to Richmond Arms. No. Richmond Arms is a great spot. And you know what? In fact, back in the 80s when I first moved to Houston, the Richmond Arms was in existence. Pretty incredible. There's been a lot of soccer fans. Yeah. It's been around a long time. So have I, by the way. All right. So let's talk about El Clasico. Storylines that jump out to you, Victor, heading into tomorrow.
Storylines that jump out. A lot of firsts. You got some big names like Griezmann in his first El Clasico. We got De Jong in his first El Clasico. I think just in general, you know, what is this team under Valverde look like, going to continue to do? What is that, you know, is the luck of Zidane going to, you know, rear its ugly head and at this time where we've been so dominant against them over the past few matches and seasons? So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, where this goes.
Ansu Fati also.
Ansu Fati's got a chance to
Mendy,
come in.
These are all guys that it would be a first Clasico.
Yeah.
So, Cesar, how about you?
Valverde, Fed Valverde. He's come in, kind of changed the whole dynamic of the midfield. Kind of put Modric back on the burner coming off the bench. last 30 minutes.
Who's going to start?
I think he's going Valverde. I think he's going to play a 4-4-2 diamond. I think the diamond will be Isco or Modric. I think it's going to be one of those two that starts. I think he's going to play Bale and Benzema up top. And then bring in
Gareth Rodin. A disappointment to you?
No, lately he's been.
Come like, on, what like do you mean?
Injury.
No,
I like his injury. I love his energy when he comes off the bench. You know, he scores big goals when we need him.
He's a big time scorer and a big time match.
Big time game.
That's what people come at, and they don't like on our side. They don't like Rakitic. They don't like Suarez.
Oh, Rakitic.
Who scores in the biggest matches? Rakitic and Suarez.
Rakitic is like.
I'm just
Rakitic
worried.
Rakitic hasn't played all year, and watch him. Perform tomorrow.
I'm worried Gareth is going to get hurt taking the garbage out tonight.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean,
that is.
I mean, then, you got to admit he is injury prone. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, and I've even heard these wild rumors he might go back to Manchester United or something.
I'm hearing that. Yeah. That or the big offer from China.
All right, let's talk about Karim Benzema though, because he has flourished, and I think people, you know, some of the numbers he's had like last year. I think he had 30 goals last year. Yep. This is a guy who's flourished without. Ronaldo being the main man.
Most underrated striker in the game. I felt like when Ronaldo was there, he played to him, played to his strengths, always passed the ball. You know,
supported
was able
him.
To, yeah, support. Always gave up the better chance. Oh, Ronaldo's in a better position. Let me pass him the ball. But now he's the main man in Madrid. But he's also taking these young kids like Rodrigo and Vinicius under his wings and trying to teach them the game the way the game should be played. And he deserves a new contract, deserves a better pay raise. You know, he's been a true number nine for us.
All right. Victor Valencek of the Houston Coolis in here, as well as Cesar Avalon of Peña Madristas. All right. So, Victor, I'm going to come back to you because it's pretty amazing. We're talking about El Clasico, and we haven't mentioned the man, Lionel Messi, who has the most goals in the history of El Clasico.
Lionel Messi, Ballon d'Or winner, six of them. You know, he got that sixth one.
I gotta tell you something though.
You don't think it was justified?
I have to give it to Virgil van Dijk.
Oh,
I feel the same way.
I mean that. And don't get me wrong, I love Messi. I'm a huge Messi fan. I just thought what Virgil van Dijk did was pretty remarkable in really helping Liverpool win a Champions League title. I think he's the prototype center back for me. But let's go back to Messi.
No, Leo, the tough part with Leo is that he's made the extraordinary just really average. And so it's the expected out of him. You get a free kick and you just, you know, it's going back of the net. And it's unbelievable what he does week in and week out. And for someone who watches week in and week out to watch that, I'm not watching Liverpool week in and week out, so I can't speak to how what that defending by Van Dijk has done to ensure that they didn't get goals in the back of the net to ensure those.
Well, it also ensures a lot of things in the attack because they have the two best outside backs in the game now in Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, and the fact that he's got this lateral range allows them. I mean, there's so many dynamics you can get into, but I don't want to turn this into a Liverpool thing, although I know there are a lot of Liverpool people listening in.
I was at the 5-1 victory last October in 2018, and Leo didn't even play. He was injured. We still won 5-1, by the way. And again, to see him, he's back in the El Clasico. Excited. Just excited for another one.
Yeah, so let's just look at this, though. Do we and do your groups, because you just said, these guys are so good, it almost remains ordinary to us. Do we appreciate what we have seen with Messi and Ronaldo? Do we appreciate what we're seeing with Liverpool now? Do we really appreciate it, or do we sometimes just take this for granted because these guys are so consistently good?
I feel like we're going to regret it once they're out of the game and we look back and, wow. We saw Messi and Ronaldo dominate the sport for over a decade. And the way Liverpool's been building with these youngsters. Look at England now. They're coming through with all these youngsters. So we need to step back and look at it overall.
I just wonder how we can. I mean, there's a lot. There's definitely a fan base across the board that is used to a certain level and of superstar type football between whether it was with Ronaldo and Madrid or whether with what we're seeing in the old Pep years. And unfortunately, my concern is that the expectations, you know, where are those expectations and how can they, because they haven't lived through the rough years where they had, you know, where you didn't win La Liga every year, right? You didn't win a Champions League every year. So it's one of those things that concerns me, that when Leo leaves, which he's gonna, unfortunately, brings a tear to everybody's eye. You know, will those expectations be put back in check? Will we lose those fans? Hopefully, the idea is we'll continue to, you know, revamp the squad and again bring back more superstars. But yeah, there's definitely a fan base out there that expects.
How much do you both miss Cristiano Ronaldo not being a part of this? I'll start with you, Caesar, and then we'll let Victor answer it as well. Because look, you can say what you want. You guys can argue over who's the better player, whatever. But those two guys thrived off each other. It was a wonderful relationship, quite frankly.
I miss the competitive of Ronaldo in La Liga. That he never took a day off, just like with Leo. They were always trying to one-do each other. I remember one Clásico, Messi scores a free kick later that in second half, Ronaldo's like, all right, I got to score my free kick. And it ended up like 2-2. Both goals were Messi and Ronaldo, both of them. And it ended up draw. Like, I do miss it, but I feel like we also have to move on, you know, at Madrid, move on and look at the players that we have now and grow from them. Like, I would love to see Rodrigo step into that or Vinicius finally step into the next tier, like with Barca has with Ansu Fati. Great player, by the way. Massive respect.
By the way, so I want you, Victor, to answer that now because you are a Barcelona fan, and I want to see what you say about Ronaldo.
Ronaldo has been, I mean, unquestionably, to see the difference in the league and see Madrid with and without him. You see Madrid, and they don't have the same fight, man. They don't have the same passion when they go behind. You just knew with Ronaldo, you're like, just look
never
your watch.
Never 80
minute,
over.
85th minute, 87th minute. There's still a goal coming. I don't feel that way anymore when I watch Madrid. Not this year. They're not as scary. So, I mean, they got the goal in the last minute against Valencia. A little bit of a fluke there at the end, but I didn't feel it, though.
By the way, great header by Courtois.
Yeah.
All right, so just a quick word on Benzema. 11th season there. That's pretty remarkable. I didn't even realize that. He's got 16 goals currently. He had 30 last year. Now, Feliz Navidad.
You didn't give me enough songs for every break, Glenn. I had to add
Feliciano,
a couple of my own.
You could have done that Guns N' Roses White Christmas again. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to have more with Cesar and Victor here. We're talking El Clasico. You guys can weigh in as well. Who do you think is going to win El Clasico tomorrow? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I do know my friends down at Advantage BMW, Justin and Philip. Those guys will be interested in El Clasico tomorrow. Advantage BMW Midtown. I just got an X5 there, leased one. Incredible vehicle. Absolutely love it. The other thing I love down there at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service. Second to none. They'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go see Philip and Justin. It is a Christmas time here. You could surprise the missus.
Feliz Navidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Firmino cleared, and now Watford could be exposed by Mane and then by Salah. Mo Salah! Beautifully done. You know, you just know That is world class.
All right, that goes out to all our good friends of the Liverpool Supporters Group here in Houston who congregate out at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, the Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen. And as you heard Caesar say, they get along great. You got to get along with the Liverpool fans. It's a great group of people, and love going and seeing them. We've had Ian Veery in here a lot as well. Cube 57 is the home of the Houston Dynamo on television. So this past year, Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself enjoyed bringing you Dynamo games on Cube 57. And we appreciate their support of this show as well. All right, quick read here, and then we're going to get back to El Clasico. We would like you to call in and give us your prediction on El Clasico. 713-780-3776. Moment here for Tri-Eagle Energy. Now, if you're shopping for electricity rates, it can be painful. Tri-Eagle Energy is going to make it easy. They're born and raised in Texas. They provide simple fixed rates. You'll pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. No hidden fees. Easy. Fast to sign up, no gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. You're going to receive a weekly usage update so that you're already given an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. Lock in the rates. You can do it for 12, 24, 36 months. Avoid rate hikes. Lock it in now. Tri-Eagle Energy, they're going to keep it simple. The rate you see, the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. They're also offering a discount for our listeners. Simply use promo code ESPN when you sign up. Now, what are you waiting for? It's an easy decision. You can feel good about it. 877-93-EAGLE. Call them or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT, hashtag 10064. So a big thank you to Tri-Eagle Energy for their support of this show. And we welcome back Cesar Avellan of the Peña Madristas here in Houston, the Real Madrid supporters group, and Houston Coolis, and our good friend Victor Valencek. How's our good friend Costa doing? Because this is a man of mystery. I see this guy every time I see him.
Right now.
Vacation always.
Well, he's
this guy is in more exotic locations than I've ever seen.
Man of mystery.
He is.
Of mystery. But he's going to miss the match tomorrow.
Ah, too bad, because I know he's a great guy. All you guys, you got great supporters groups. So let's dig into this game a little bit more. From the standpoint of how the approach is for Barcelona, what are you expecting tomorrow, Victor?
I think they're going to – what Barcelona does well and what they've been doing well is they've been doing well at home. And so that – something about being at home versus being on the road – gives them that extra that comfort. It gives them that extra spark. Whatever they need to do to get up and play their best, being at home does that. So I expect that to be no different for them. I think that, you know, going into the match, I think that there's just a lot of excitement with, you know, I think overall, like I said, all the first and all the players that'll get a chance to play. But yeah, I think it's just going to be, I think it's another home match. I think it's another home win, and it just will continue.
Cesar, the approach for Zidane and Real Madrid, what is it going to look like?
I think just to limit the Barca press, like they always like to do, build from the back. They want to constantly stop the build. I feel like hit them with eventually second half with speed, with using Bale or using Vinicius or even Rodrigo, just hit him on counters. I do see it. Real does play better at the Camp Nou the last couple games.
This is true.
Better than at home. So I do see maybe like a 2-1 victory or a 2-2. I wouldn't mind having a draw out of this.
I'll tell you where we suffer. We suffer when teams, young teams, give us the high press. We saw that with Real Sociedad. High press, we suffer with that. And those teams eventually, they can't keep it going. We get the ball back. We start playing our game. We get the goal. Does Madrid have a press?
Casemiro and Valverde.
Okay. Yeah.
But do they really play like that? Is it much different?
Is it much
different than when Ronaldo was there, really, the way they play?
I believe so. Now it's more build up to the midfield. Now. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kroos is now pushed more.
He's getting a red card.
I could see Casemiro probably getting one, but Casemiro gets away with a bunch
bet.
Of stuff.
He'd be a good bet to get one, Casemiro.
But I feel like, you know, they finally figured out, okay, how to use Kroos. You know, Valverde's become more the new Modric, can knows where to be when the ball's not there, finding spaces. And then Isco's refound his touch. Isco's gave him, Zidane's kind of giving him the freedom to roam wherever, you know, in the pitch he needs. And then these kids have found the open spaces. So, like, in the last game against Valencia, Isco drifted out to the right where Rodrigo was, and Rodrigo switched to the left and was open a couple times and had a couple chances to score.
All right. Okay. What happened to Hazard? What's going on with Hazard and Zidane? What's going on with him making his imprint at Real Madrid?
Well, the injury really does hurt him, because I felt like he was finally getting to the form that he was at Chelsea. Just remember, the English game is completely different from the Spanish game. The Spanish game is different.
Tell me why.
They're more defensive. They know how to control dribblers. They're pass masters.
So you're telling me that in La Liga, they defend dribblers better than they do in the Premier League?
I believe so.
Interesting.
I believe so. The Premier League, it's a very physical league, don't get me wrong. But I feel like, you know, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different adjustment. But I felt like he was finally getting there until the PSG game where he got hurt by his own.
No, that's a fair assessment, though. It is difficult changing leagues, and people forget that sometimes, that some guys, Victor, flourish in some leagues and some can't flourish at all in some leagues. And listen, we've seen that even with players in Major League Soccer. And that maybe is a little bit of not a fair comparison because of the weather and the travel and all those other things that become a part of it for people. But, yeah, it does take time sometimes.
And the language. You know, he's got to learn Spanish. A lot of these players learn Spanish.
All you need to know is Comida.
Yeah, pretty much. Ask Bell that.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard Gareth isn't really that into really getting into the culture.
Nah, he just wants to play golf and just collect a paycheck.
All right, let's talk about Barcelona and some of the other aspects of their game. Are you concerned if Real Madrid does press their back four that putting them under pressure can yield some positive things?
Anytime that we get under some pretty high pressure, again, we have a hard time. We had a hard time with Sociedad passing out of the back. We had to go over the top. And I think those are the things that worry me if they're able to do that. I don't know if I've seen it, so I'm not entirely worried about that. I think some of the other pieces is, you know, the Rakitic factor. We've been talking side by side that we think Rakitic comes, we know he comes up big in the biggest matches, but will that happen again? And if he doesn't, then I worry that it's the other way around. We're going to have to sub him. And who are we going to sub him with? Vidal. Vidal is someone who plays a very different game, very non-Barcelona style of play, but he injects something into the game that actually I wouldn't mind if, he has a little bit of, because, you know.
I'm just wondering, is this a game you start him? I mean, Vidal's edge, man.
I just think it takes us away from our Barcelona, the way we play the game, right? And so I love him coming in the 67th minute, because you either bring him in because you're doing well and you want him to close out the game, or you bring him in because, you know what, you need something.
You want an injection.
You need something.
An emotional injection.
And he gives it to you. He's going to fly all over the pitch.
How do you feel about Frankie?
Oh, Frankie's in. Frankie's going to be, he's money. Frankie de Jong he is the perfect, you know, Barcelona midfielder. Is like groomed meant to be. He was meant to be.
Yeah, you got to love the Johan Cruyff Netherlands Barcelona connection. Okay, so I want to, we're up on the hard break now. One more time, the information where your group is watching the game, Victor.
All culés, all Barcelona fans, come out to Revelry on Richmond in Montrose and join us out there. We can handle a good 300 people in there. Plenty of room, great kitchen, great staff. Everybody there is going to take care of you, so you're in good hands.
By the way, where else can they also find information about the supporters group?
Please come out to, just go to HoustonCoulés.com. That's Houston, CULES.com. You can find all the information on our tab. There's an El Clasico tab. You learn about our sponsorship, our raffles, what we have going on. Again, HoustonCoulés.com.
All right, Caesar, you're up. Tell us where you're watching it. Tell us where we can get information about the Peña Madristas.
We're watching it at Richmond Arms, but we normally watch our games again at
Hugh O'Connor's. Hugh O'Connor's. I got your back. I got your back on Hugh.
But we also, I run the Twitter and the Facebook, so you can check us out on Peña Madridista. So it's P-E-N-A Madridista HTX on Facebook and on Twitter. I'll respond as quick as possible. If you guys have any questions or anything, I'm an open book.
All right. So can we do this again sometimes, guys?
Every time.
Every time, man.
We're here.
I got to tell you, I really enjoy your passion, your knowledge, how into it you are. It's uplifting for me as the host. So thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Oh, prediction. Always. Real quick, Victor. Prediction. Oh, prediction. Score. Quick.
All right. 2-1.
2-1.
2-1 or 2-2.
All right. There you go. Cesar and Victor, these two guys, part of the great supporters groups that we have here in Houston, Texas, and the amazing passionate soccer fans throughout our great city. We're going to take a break here. Andrew, take us away, and we'll be back with more here. Coming up next, John Arnold from Goal.com. Talk about Monterrey Rayados and more.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And again, the great news, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they are the overall now presenting sponsor of this show. Both hours controlled by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And they have helped get soccer on the air here in Houston. So they are a pivotal part of it. When you get into any kind of car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, nobody wants you to, but if you do, it is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, and that leads us to our final guest of the night, and it is a good one. John Arnold from Goal.com. You've seen his writings. Excellent writer. Does cover the Mexican League, the Mexican national team, very heavily. He joins us now from Dallas. John, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I know. You told me this is a quiet time. Come on. Is it ever really a quiet time for football?
Hey, it's always difficult for us, you know, to find a nice time for vacation because, you know, like the summer there's a major tournament, and then the winter, you know, Liga MX, legitimately the players, a lot of the teams that didn't make it to the final, they're already back in preseason. So, listen, I'm not trying to get any sympathy for not being able to take a vacation. I work doing what I love, but you know how it is, Glenn. It can be a bit demanding.
It's true. The game never sleeps. It's round the clock for all of us, but we love it. All right, let's start with Rayados. Club World Cup, they're going to take on Liverpool on Wednesday. Talk to me about this and explain to my audience why this is a bit tricky for Rayados based on them being in the Liga MX final against Club America.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a situation that Liga MX sort of half plans for every year. When the calendar comes out, it says if the CONCACAF Champions League champion, which this year was Rayados, remember they beat Tigres in that Inter-Monterrey final, if they make it, we'll delay the final. It didn't look like Monterrey was going to do it because they're real struggled at the start of the season to pick up points. They had a rough spell. And then they decided, well, Diego Alonso, thanks, but be on your way. And we're going to bring back Antonio Mohamed, a manager who had a lot of success with Rayados in the past, but even more success at previous stops in Mexico at Club America and in Tijuana. And since Mohamed has taken over, they haven't lost in any tournament, any competition, whether you're talking the friendly match they played down in Houston, they won that, whether you're talking league games, cup matches, and now this Club World Cup game against Al Sadd, which sets up this game against Liverpool. Now, that being said, while obviously the focus is on the European champion and the very difficult task that they're going to have on Wednesday, they also surely have their scouts sort of watching video and kind of keeping up with what's going on back in Mexico. There's no games right now, but Club America awaits them when they get back. So they have to play this semifinal, which obviously, you know, it'd be amazing if they would win, but it's going to be a real tall task. And then they're going to have either the final, if they pull the upset, or a third place game. Then they got to fly back to Mexico and host the first leg and then travel to Mexico City for the second leg of the Liga MX final right after Christmas. The quick turnaround, it's going to be very demanding on these players. It's one of the most expensive squads in the Americas, so you'd say they probably have some of the depth to deal with that quick turnaround with the altitude that they'll be facing once again. But at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of physical, mental stress on these players. Right now, it's full throttle. Try to beat Liverpool. Try and pull off the upset. Try to make history as the best ever CONCACAF finisher if they're able to pull this upset off. But that being said, I think it's going to be a pretty tall task. There's really not any team in the world, I think, that looks at Liverpool and says, no problem, we got this. So it's going to be fascinating to see what exactly Mohamed, the coach that I mentioned, does in this game. But he's got a really busy December. No rest for him either, that's for sure.
And, John, you know, I know you know this. He's come out and he said, look, we're going to be Monterrey Rayados. We're not going to come here in fear. We're going to give it everything we have, whether we get beat, whether we don't get beat. We're going to give it everything we have. So that just leads me to, this isn't a remarkable opportunity for Rayados to be literally playing against the European champion, probably the most high-profile team in the world now when it comes to what they're doing on the field. And, you know, it just harkens back to reminding me that, God, wouldn't it be amazing if one day an MLS team gets this opportunity?
No, absolutely, because not only do you have sort of the opportunity to play this team, but you have the off-field opportunities. People from all over are going to be Googling tomorrow. You know, I wrote a story on Goal today that for the UK audience literally just called Who Are Rayados? Sort of explaining what this team's background is, what the city of Monterrey is like, and how this team likes to play. And you mentioned that Mohamed has come out and said, I don't want to, you know, be different. I want to play our game. But I do think that their game in some ways can suit a difficult match like this. Rayados, unlike a lot of teams in Mexico, are a team that's very comfortable without possession. If Liverpool wants to pass it around in their own half, Rayados are totally fine with that. They're a team that's better soaking up pressure, winning the ball back with those tough central midfielders they have, whether Celso Ortiz or Jonathan Gonzalez goes, with Charlie Rodriguez, really promising, a Mexico national team player, also Olympic eligible. You know, whoever's in that middle is so hungry to win the ball back, the defenders as well. Then when they are able to win the ball, they can kind of spring forward and attack. So they're not going to sit back, but they're okay if Liverpool wants to keep the ball. So I think it's going to be interesting, and I do think that Liverpool's press might be, it's obviously never easy to play against that kind of the Jurgen Klopp system, but you know, the defenders from Monterrey are used to lobbing balls forward, getting the ball out of pressure, and they're not going to be trying to get too crazy and too tricky in the back. They're going to be looking for Rogelio Funes Mori up top. So, you know, while Mohamed wants to play his game and doesn't want to change anything, I think that his traditional game is actually sort of well-suited for a game like this. That said, it's still going to be incredibly difficult, but I think that's what we should watch for tactically, is a Rayados team that can do kind of what it wants to do normally against Liverpool and really shouldn't change too much.
And per your article, you don't feel as though Antonio Mohamed has really changed things that much from Alonso's reign?
No, I don't think so. It's one of those interesting phenomena where, you know, Alonso, I think, is a very talented manager. I think he's going to have other opportunities in the CONCACAF region, if not in South America, where he's from. Mohamed came in, and while he did sort of institute some of that counterattacking that I mentioned, you know, Alonso was already doing a lot of that. I think that Mohamed's influence has been more of a calming one mentally. This is a team with a lot of moving pieces. It's a team that, as I mentioned, you know, they bring in a player like Vincent Janssen this summer. Rodolfo Pizarro had joined just a couple transfer windows ago. Jesus Gallardo, you know, there's a lot of players coming from a lot of different places. And I think Mohamed sort of, with A, his familiarity with the actual squad, the players in the squad, and B, just sort of his manner, his sort of style of man management, his off-field mannerisms, and just the way he conducts himself, I think really was a calming influence on Rayados. So I think we'll probably see them playing even more of what you might call Mohamed's football going forward. But so far, he's made very subtle tweaks tactically. The real difference, it seems like, has been in the locker room and even making difficult decisions. You know, Miguel Layún is another player who arrived, a familiar name, a Mexico national team player. He arrives in to Rayados in the transfer window, and, you know, you expect him to play, but Mohamed feels, and I think very rightly so, that right now this team is not best when Layún is in the starting 11. So, you know, he's confident enough to tell Layún that, to put him on the bench, and to deal with that. So you see him, Jonathan Nurete Vizcaya, other international players, not in this starting 11, but Mohamed has had the confidence to make those decisions, and I think that's made the difference.
We are talking to John Arnold, Goal.com. By the way, I recommend you get over to Goal.com. You can read his latest article, It's Who Are Monterrey, the Mexican club looking to stun Liverpool at the Club World Cup. It's a great read. A lot of good tidbits that you can pick up in there before watching this game on Wednesday, right? What time will that be? A morning game here, I guess?
Yeah, it's going to be 11:30 Central Time. So, you know, maybe sneak out on your lunch break and have a cheeky long lunch.
Yeah, so Monterrey, Liverpool, and then you do El Clasico in the afternoon Real Madrid and, of course, Barcelona. So it's a great day of soccer watching tomorrow. And by the way, the flu is going around in Houston, so it is a legitimate excuse if you want to tell your boss, probably. So let me move on here to a little something different here as we continue to talk here. And that is expansion in Major League Soccer. And it's absolutely rampant. I mean, today we heard that Charlotte now is in with David Tepper, the Carolina Panthers owner, and it's $325 million. God, what do you make of this? You know, all I seem to get out of MLS now is expansion, expansion, expansion. And at some point, this is going to have to top out.
You mentioned two important things there, Glenn. The name of the owner and the fee. I think that MLS, despite the fact that they say, hey, we're stopping at 30, I think everyone can kind of see the writing on the wall that that's probably not going to happen. Why? Because they keep finding these owners who have proven in other elements, whether it's an NFL team like David Tepper, like whether it's, you know, other successful business ventures or even foreign sports, you know, proven ownership groups that have had success and want to be part of MLS and want to be part of MLSB so badly that they're willing to pay that number. I mean, when you look at what other teams around the world, established teams with tradition, and now that also sometimes means debt or other difficulties, but, you know, established teams that have already had their mark out there for years and years and years, that already have a fan base, they're going for less a lot of times than these MLS teams. There are that many, you know, there's that much belief from these owners and potential owners that their investment will come good, that MLS will grow enough and be lucrative enough in the future that they can make this investment now, that they're willing to put that money in. So it's difficult, Glenn, like you're saying, to see it come to a stop. But to me, those are the things that kind of stand out. A, that franchise fee. Every single one is a record franchise fee, right? The only exception would be Beckham, who had the deal in place with the league from his time as a
player. By the way, John, to me was a stroke of brilliance to keep Beckham involved with Major League Soccer. So you got to credit MLS for that one. That is a stroke of brilliance to give him a franchise at a cut rate.
No, absolutely, because then, you know, every single, you know, European the article says Beckham's Miami, and they're writing something about anything that happens with that club because it's Beckham, and Beckham sells, right? And the other thing that sells, I think, is the atmosphere. So it's going to be up to the people in Charlotte to create that kind of atmosphere. But we've seen in pretty much every market the excitement. But you just wonder, Glenn, you know, I'm standing in Dallas talking to you in Houston. What is the league going to do to make sure those markets, and, you know, you could include a Colorado, a New England Revolution, Chicago Fire with their rebrand and their move, you're seeing maybe some change, but what about those original teams or relatively legacy teams like Houston? You know, how do we make sure they don't get left behind? I think that that's something the league has to keep an eye on and remember as they're sort of enjoying the fruits of their recent labor with these record franchise fees, with these impressive owners getting involved. Let's remember that there are other teams that maybe haven't been able to latch on and catch fire in their market yet, and hopefully we can all be enjoying, no matter where we are, no matter what city we're in or what club we're rooting for, we can all enjoy feeling like we live in a soccer culture. Because right now, I do feel that in the U.S., but it feels very, you know, there are pockets.
Absolutely. It's not across the board.
We can all be in those pockets, right?
Yeah, and I think you bring a great point up, John, because, look, we're also talking about teams that are struggling in major markets, okay? Houston is a major media market as far as I'm concerned. Chicago is. New York is. These are markets where MLS is not doing that well. And to your point, that's a little bit concerning when you're talking about getting national media, which plays into everything you do.
Yeah, and you look at Charlotte and you say, well, that probably wasn't on the list at the start, right? I've been to Charlotte, lovely city, no disrespect to the people there. I did some ICC games and was really impressed by the crowds. The Mexico national team is going to play there this upcoming year in March of 2020. And, you know, you could play in Anchorage and the Mexico national team would have a good atmosphere and sell out the stadium. So I don't expect Charlotte to be any different. But that said, you know, it's not one of these big flashy places. It's not a Miami that's going to get international press and national media attention. So, you know, you do wonder where sort of the balance is and if there should be more of a balance, I guess, between sort of putting effort and reinvigorating these markets, these big markets that are struggling, and sort of also spreading the excitement that does exist for MLS, that the appetite and the hunger that exists in a market like Charlotte for a new team. You know, where is that balance point? And I think, Glenn, your question you originally asked, I can't answer, because the question everyone wants to know, and only Don Garber and the Brain Trust know, when will it stop? That's kind of the one remaining question. It's fun. It's fun to see, but, you know, there's also space for a USL team or lower division teams to also kind of bring soccer to a community and bring it to a city and an area. So it's going to be fascinating to watch, but I think we can all agree that the game is growing in this country. Hopefully the stewards of the game continue to kind of use wisdom and make sure it's kind of growing at a good pace everywhere.
Yeah, agree with you. And, you know, the other interesting thing just to me is when it comes to Charlotte is, again, it's an NFL stadium. It's likely artificial surface. There was that real push at a time in MLS where it was, hey, we have to get away from NFL stadiums. And it seems like we're moving back in that direction. John, listen, tremendous stuff tonight. Looking forward to watching Rayados in Liverpool. Looking forward to getting your reaction after that tomorrow. And thank you for coming on the program. We'd love to have you back on here in the near future.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, John. Have a great holidays as well, please.
You too. Happy to go.
All right, that's John Arnold, Goal.com. Get over there. Great article. Who are Monterrey, the Mexican club, looking to stun Liverpool at the Club World Cup? Well, who are Monterrey? We probably don't have to say that here in Houston because we have so many Rayados and Tigres fans here who go across the border during the Liga MX season, driving down there and flying down there to watch their teams. And you could argue that Monterrey may be the biggest market and city when it comes to soccer in this part of the world because of the large attendances both Rayados and Tigres get. All right, that's going to do it for tonight here. Happy holidays to all of you out there. Take care of your loved ones. For the great producer, Andrew Carlson, we thank you very much for all your work. And we will take a break. You will hear more about When Soccer Matters is back on the air. Brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.